What do you think the 24-hour news cycle has done in terms of impacting our expectations and how it affects the market?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's an interesting counterfactual. I'm always looking forward in that sense, I don't think that question really is one that I confront sort of in my policy job. And what I mean by that is it's something we have to live with. The 24-hour news cycle is here to stay. And if we could have more hours in the day, we would have more hours in the day for the news cycle to take place. I think it's important on us as policymakers to communicate more broadly than with financial markets. And what I mean by that is it's important for us, and it's incumbent on us to say we're buying $85 billion per month. That's important. It's also important to say we're going to be keeping the Fed funds rate extraordinarily low. But I think a lot of our communication, more of our communication, should be about, through these kinds of graphs I've just been showing, about how we're doing on the variables that we're charged with in terms of our goals, and how we're doing in terms of keeping those goals close to or not close enough to our targets. I think that's really what we report to Congress, and through them to the American people. What we report to them on is in terms of these goals of price stability, keeping inflation close to 2%, and max employment, which means keeping unemployment low. So I think that the news cycle ends up being, especially if you listen to less to NPR and more to the business style of conversation, it's much more about, boy, what's the Fed going to be doing with its asset purchase program? I think it's important for us to be communicating as much as we can through that news cycle to be about the kinds of pictures and outlooks for unemployment, inflation, and employment on an ongoing basis.
When you say do whatever it takes, are there monetary policy tools that you might foresee with a long-term goal of do whatever it takes that haven't been employed thus far?
Well, I mentioned one already. I mentioned reducing the interest on excess reserves. I think that would be a positive step forward. I think the communication change that I described of being explicit about the fact that we intend to keep the Fed funds rate extraordinarily low, at least until the unemployment falls below 5.5%. I think there's uncertainty out there about how much will the Fed be in it to win it. In terms of actually generating the recovery, and even though inflation remains low. I hear that uncertainty on an ongoing basis. So I think we have to be able to communicate and signal on an ongoing basis. So really a lot of this is about our communication as opposed to just our actions. We have to communicate a willingness to be in it to win it, to stick with what we're doing, even as the economy shows more signs of life, shows more signs of improvement. The cost of overly accommodative monetary policy is inflation. And as long as we continue to see inflation this low or even much higher than this, even getting up to 2% or a little bit above, we should be willing to stick with this program of accommodation. I think that there are doubts about that and uncertainties about our willingness to stick with that program. But in terms of concrete steps, I think lowering the interest rate we pay on excess reserves would be a help. That's a retardant on encouraging lending and stimulating investment in the economy. We should not be paying that interest on excess reserves.
You've clearly identified your steps and how you'd like to focus on this. What percentage of the FOMC committee members are of the same ilk as you are, and is Mrs. Yellen also of that same ilk as Mr. Brandy has been?
So one of the things that it's a question I know that everyone wants to know the answer to, but one of the things I said right at the beginning, very beginning, is I speak for myself and I don't speak for anyone else. So I encourage you to read the Vice Chair Yellen's speeches. She's an extraordinary communicator, and she's spoken at length on monetary policy over the last 3 years and even beyond that. And my colleagues are. I heard President Lockhart of the Atlanta Fed being interviewed this morning as I was driving over. Turns out he's a Stanford football fan, but I won't hold that against him. So there's a lot of information available on that. I'm not in a position to really speak for them.
Thank you for being here tonight. It's a pleasure to be with you as well. I couldn't agree with you more about the value of communications. and how that plays a part. For instance, in publicly held companies, as much as 45% of that stock value can be attributed to transparency and good communications. And this is a good segue about Janet Yellen. I'm presuming that you are looking forward to enhancing the communication skills that Ms. Yellen possesses. And how do you see her carrying through on that goal of better communications and more transparency? And then two, in combination with how Wall Street is so short-sighted and how you can communicate with the Wall Street arena to come more to a long-term thinking. That's been an issue that many public companies have dealt with, you know, forever and ever. But in this case, it is having this total goal that everyone is looking at, business-wise, private-wise, as well as our monetary policy. So I guess my question is just more about commenting on how you see Janet Yellen even better communicating the goals and how we're going to reach those.
So the Vice Chair Yellen is a remarkable communicator, and as I was answering the earlier question, you can look at her speeches. Her ability to communicate is really very deep and profound, and that's why she's been the chairman of the FOMC, or chairperson, chair of the FOMC subcommittee on communications. But the task of communicating is not charged. It's not an issue with who the chairman is. It's really an issue for the committee as a whole to come together behind a collective stance towards communication. So we have, as of last December, we made a collective statement that we intended to keep the Fed funds rate extraordinarily low, at least until the unemployment rate fell below 6.5%. That was a very powerful step for the committee to take. It really was very informative about the stance of monetary policy. That's those kinds of collective actions and collective pieces of communication is where our power lies. I think Chairman Bernanke was a great communicator, and Chairman Vice Chair is confirmed by the Senate, as I hope she will be. I think she'll be a great communicator individually as well. It's not bound up in those people, though. It's about us as a collective community have to be able to communicate effectively as a group. Each of my colleagues is individually a great communicator. It's really about the group dynamic and how we're able to communicate effectively. Now, in terms of Wall Street, I think that the financial markets, people are out there trying to make money, and we have to use that incentive when we make policy. We have to use that incentive to shape what we want to try to accomplish in financial markets. So, what do I mean by that? Well, the question everyone wants to know always about the Fed is, when are you going to? Usually it's what's going to happen to interest rates. Now interest rates can only go one direction. So when are interest rates going to go up? Well, if we tell them interest rates are not going up until unemployment falls below 5.5%, they're going to listen to that. They want to know that information. So it's really, on us to communicate effectively about what our goals are for the economy, how we're making policy to achieve those goals, and less about is it going to be 85 or 75, which I think we get too wrapped up in that dialogue.
First of all, thank you for your presentation. I have a very practical question. Suppose the folks here, we are all unemployed. And I know you are a professor, and I just wanted to hear how you would address this group linking the monetary policy and the current job situation. I'm an economist myself, and I really would like to hear how you would address those issues, the monetary policy and unemployment. And we are here looking for jobs, unemployment.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it's when you're talking to people who are looking for work, they're on the labor market supply side of the equation. They're willing to supply their labor to firms. And monetary policy really is working on the demand side of the equation, right? We're trying to tell firms and businesses something about the future dynamics for their demand to get them to go out and hire. So I'm not sure I can say something that's profound for people who are looking for work that's going to make that any more effective, except to, insofar as to assure them that we're doing whatever it takes in order to ameliorate their situation. So my communication is really more on the demand side of the equation. It works better, I think, with communicating with firms or with people who are lucky enough to have a job to say, look, going forward, we're going to be providing enough stimulus that you don't have to worry about being unemployed going forward. That should encourage you to spend. That should encourage businesses to go out and hire. And that's the positive dynamic that we're able to operate on. So that's it's a policymaker. That's how I engage with the economy.
We've got time for one last question. Hi, and thank you for being here. So, Zachary Sullivan and James said earlier, there's a lot of credentials in the room, but I wanted to think, kind of carrying on the communication side, for us gathered here to take this conversation out to our friends, family, and our peers, what's the most important takeaway that we can bring to them from your presentation about how we can actively engage on a more practical level, and the best takeaway for us to bring out from this?
Yeah, if I wanted to say one word, a sentence along those lines, it would be that inflation remains very low by historical standards, by relative to the goal of 2% per year, and so there's no reason to be afraid of monetary stimulus. I think there's at times, you know, I understand why this happens. You go out and buy stuff at the grocery store. You go out, not so much with gas recently, but if you go out to the grocery store, your eye is drawn to the things that are expensive. And maybe your wages haven't been going up very much recently. And so even a relatively low rate of price increase that I've just described seems like a lot. I think it's really important for us to be able to talk sensibly that inflation is not just under control, it's low relative to where we want it to be. And that gives more room for monetary policy stimulus to be helpful. So that would be my main takeaway. Thank you very much for the questions. Very thoughtful.